Hi everyone, welcome to this Arthritis Wellness Conversation. I'm Sandra Silva, and as always, I'm joined by a research scientist from Arthritis Research Canada and members of the Arthritis Patient Advisory Board. Over 6 million Canadians, young and old, struggle with the pain and disability of living with arthritis. And people with arthritis can be more likely to have symptoms of anxiety and depression. The purpose of today's conversation is not to diagnose or offer medical advice, but rather to have the opportunity to have an open conversation about the topic and for you to hear from people just like you living with arthritis. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Mary DeVera from Arthritis Research Canada, and for members of the Arthritis Patient Advisory Board, joining us today are Shannon McQuitty and Chris Pudlak. Dr. DeVera, I think I'd start with you with a quick question. Some of your work includes studies around research for mental health for individuals with inflammatory arthritis. This is a new area of research. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure, I'd love to. So one of the reasons that we actually started this research on mental health and arthritis is that research has historically, rightfully so, focused on the physical manifestations of this. So when you look at clinical trials or a health outcome study of an arthritis patient population, they're reporting fatigue, pain, inflammation, so swollen joint, tender joints. And there's actually been very little emphasis on mental health impacts. And when you think about how these physical manifestations actually impact mood and well-being, it's important to be able to measure these as well.
When we as patients are meeting with our health professionals, I'd like to sort of check in with the panel, ask whether or not the topic of emotional wellness was ever brought up for you in your regular appointment.
Chris? No, I didn't have that discussion with my rheumatologist. I did have recommendations at the time to see a physiotherapist, and I did see a couple other specialists. I saw a cardiologist and a urologist. Maybe I did too good of a job hiding my anxiety with it. No one really asked me about it, and I didn't think to ask either. But it's something that, self-taught from my mom, I guess, because my mom had her own back surgeries and health issues to deal with, and her positive attitude is what really got me going. And I had a lot of support from my brother as well to do some reading. So I did. I started doing some research and reading on my own maintain a positive attitude.
Excellent. Dr. DeVera, the research that is being done in this area will change the landscape, and that more rheumatologists, for example, will be bringing up these mental health conversations with their patients?
I certainly hope so. I think one of the reasons we're doing this research is it's also an opportunity to raise awareness. So I guess when you think about mental health, there's actually a lot of stigma with mental health, not just mental health and arthritis, but mental health in general. It might be one of the reasons why it's not often talked about in medical appointments, whether it's not initiated by the patient or it's not initiated by the care providers. So one of the things that we're actually going to be looking at is among the people with arthritis who have anxiety and depression, are they being seen? And, which types of healthcare professionals are providing the care for these mental health disorders? So, and then, by sharing that, we really hope to kind of normalize it and show that people are talking about it, because we really do need to raise awareness and let people know that, when there are issues with mood and well-being, that it is a manifestation of the disease and that care needs to be sought.
Mm-hmm. And also, just like you say, that it to have that availability to be able to have those conversations and to bring awareness of it. Back to the panel now, I'd like to think about what might some of the benefits have been if you would have had these conversations with your healthcare professionals earlier on.
I think in general, if that discussion is had as early as possible after diagnosis, that at least you know what to look out for. So it can be up to you to go back to your physician about it. But I personally realized I was going through grief after my diagnosis, and then starting to deal with having some depression, which, I had about of like 25 years before. So I was sort of thinking, this feels familiar. And called my rheumatologist's office. The nurse called me back and then told me that it was not uncommon. And so I felt better just right there, knowing that it wasn't uncommon and that be able to get a handle on it. And then I was also referred to a social worker as well, in addition to being put on medication. So the both the social worker and the medication helped immensely.
I think it's also important to recognize that while anxiety and depression can be part of anyone's experience, not specifically needing to be arthritis, that also it doesn't have to be. Chris, I really like that you talked about that you switched your focus to more on a positive outlook. Can you tell a little bit briefly on how you approach that?
Yeah, the book I was reading at the time was called You Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And he kind of focused on the idea that the attitude is everything. Like you got to, if you're convinced, if you believe that you're going to be sick and you're stuck with this, and you have a fatalistic attitude towards it, there's no way you're gonna pull out. And even that doesn't even help with adherence to medications or to therapies or anything like that. If you have a negative attitude, if you have a positive attitude, I think you can get through this. Then it'll help you stick to those things. It'll help you remember that you can get better, or at least you can manage it. I think that was important to me.
Shannon, one of the things that you had mentioned is that, I think you said the word grief, because there can be changes.
Grief is the more immediate thing that happened with me. And luckily I had a patient mentoring me that had been dealing with rheumatoid arthritis for over 40 years. And we were chatting online one night and she said, well, of course you feel that way. It's a loss. You've lost so much of the life that you had that naturally grief is going to be part of it. And that really helped a lot and helped me just allow myself to feel it, mm-hmm. because you can't fight grief. And then I also read a book, I think it was in my second year of diagnosis, that also, you know, I was getting little nuggets of information and little bits of help everywhere. And this book was called How to Be Sick. It was kind of Zen and Buddhist inspired. And so that also really helped me, you know, just changing your mindset. And the way I look at it now, because I still go to those places, I allow myself to visit, but I don't unpack and stay there.
Chris, one of the things that you talked about is also from your family members and your impact on your lifestyle and a whole bunch of things. Can you give us a little bit of an insight there?
Having support from my brother and my mom were definitely helpful. Yeah, it was, and of course my wife and my family, my kids were all supportive that way. Yeah, it definitely changed when I had the diagnosis, because in the lead up to the diagnosis, I thought this is something I'm going to take medication for and then it'll go away. And then I got the diagnosis and understood that it's much more permanent than that. So that was where the real anxiety hit, because at the time I took two hands to turn the key in my ignition in the car. So I'm thinking, what about all the other stuff, like what about biking and all the things I used to enjoy? So that's when the real anxiety hit, and the support, especially from my mom, came in that I could get through this and work towards a solution or work the problem and deal with it moving forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think the more that we have these conversations, like you said, Dr. Devera, take the stigma out of talking about our mental and emotional well-being.
I think that's one of the questions that we're asking, is who initiates the conversation? And that's certainly one of the things we'd like to unpack. But I guess I'm just like picking up on, you know, what other members have been sharing. I guess mental health and arthritis, there's a complex relationship with these issues. It's not isolated. So when you think about, like, there's a number of hypotheses that actually would explain why there's an increased burden of mental health disorders among people living with arthritis. So one of them is actually the physical manifestations. So there's some research done with lupus that among those with active disease, they actually have a 50% higher risk of developing depression compared to those not having active disease. And then there's very, very recent evidence shows there's actually central nervous system inflammatory responses that are implicated in the development of mental disorder. So, like, in other words, there may be an inflammatory basis for depression and anxiety itself. And when you think about arthritis, like, it's an inflammatory disease, then there really is that complex interplay between these two conditions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Talking a little bit about what people can do, what are some of the things that we can do for resources or to help with either anxiousness or depression. Chris, I highlighted a term that you said in here on your questions, and you said developing a stubbornly optimistic attitude. I love that because it is, all feelings are valid. We can have times when we're feeling more up or we're feeling that more lower and down, but as with anything else, sometimes we have to be in the driver's seat for that. So talk to me about being stubbornly optimistic.
I forget who said it first. Maybe it was even a statement by the Dalai Lama, I think. Nine times fall down, nine times get up again. Right. It's and that really stuck with me. And especially going through different medications, different therapies that failed, that weren't working for me. The next day I said, oh, I got to double down. I just have to try harder. I have to stick with this a little bit longer. I have to try something new and not give up. So that really became one of my mantras with exercise and again, getting back into exercise. Every bike ride was a victory that I could finish it. And even if it was painful, I looked down the road, trying to play the long game and look months down the road and keep my journal too and look months in the past and see that I've been making gradual improvements.
No, I like that. I mean, mindset and attitude are important, but I don't want us to ignore the fact that depression and anxiety, it's not something that we can always just think our way out of. And that's why having conversations, having tools, having resources, and knowing that if there is something that is out of alignment, that's just like when we would have a flare up with our arthritis condition. We don't ignore these things. We want to address it. I'm also thinking about what is it like to live with arthritis, and the exercise is so important. I'm such a believer in that too, but it can be really hard when you're hurting. It can be really hard with mobility issues that can trigger some of these feelings that we're having. Mary, what would you feel is important for patients to think about on the exercise level or the things that they can do to support their mental wellness?
I guess so one of the things that we're actually looking at in our research, to disentangle this complex relationship, is how can improving arthritis itself lead to improvement in mental health? So there's actually a few studies that have shown that biologics have actually improved mental health symptoms. And actually, there's a small study that has shown that among people that take biologics with RA, they have lower incidence of like depression. Getting disease managed and under control could probably have a lot of impact on mental health. Because when you think about, again, it's almost like that chicken and egg, because mm-hmm. your pain and vice versa. So I think you can control on both ends. So you can control, like within mind, body, you can think about like the positivity and stubborn optimism that Chris talks about. But then I guess on the flip side, when you think about the physical aspect, there's also like the physical care and physical activity. So I think there are a lot of tools, and then finding the one that would work when they're feeling what they're feeling.
Makes so much sense. And Mary, like you said, having the arthritis controlled and well managed is going to partner up with that as well. What other things are coming to mind as we're having this conversation? Is that, yes, Shannon?
I think that the support and validation of your healthcare professionals is really key. And I know that not everybody has that or gets that, but it really is the first line of acknowledgement that can make all the difference in the world, especially early on, but at any stage through the process. And I think of depression and anxiety very separately. My depression is under control, but I still can have bouts of anxiety. For example, in a global pandemic, your anxiety can amp up. So I actually pulled out some of my anxiety coping tools that I did, in the first year of my diagnosis when I was basically bedridden. And I thought, well, they helped me then. I wonder if they'll help with this anxiety that I'm feeling now. And it was almost immediate. Definitely first with your healthcare professional, your rheumatologist, and then finding what works for you. For me, it's coloring, believe it or not. So right, yeah, it's surprising whatever you can find, you know, activities that you can tolerate to combat that.
Yeah, Chris?
Yeah, just going back to the chicken and egg concept, from my experience, it's felt like the arthritis can contribute to stress and anxiety, but the stress and anxiety can also contribute to the arthritis. When I first had my diagnosis in 2016 of ankylosing spondylitis, I was in a very stressful time of my life. Like I was working myself pretty hard. I was traveling. I was short on sleep. I was jet lagged often. And I think a lot of this contributed to it. And then, of course, I got sick at the time, and that's when everything flared up.
Mm-hmm. Seeing as we're talking about the importance of all of these things, I'd like to ask everybody advice for other people that are living with arthritis. How should we start the conversation about mental health?
I would say, just don't be afraid to ask. I mean, your medical professionals are there to help you. And I've asked some pretty embarrassing questions that I would never repeat with anyone else. And they handled it professionally. And I got some good feedback, good answers.
So as I mentioned, like with our research, one of the reasons we're doing it is to be able to raise awareness. And when I say raise awareness, it's not just among, you know, people living with arthritis, but it's also among healthcare providers. So one of the things in terms of disentangling, you know, that mental health disorders are common in arthritis, what we want to do is actually look at the timing. So when during that disease course, are we seeing more depression or anxiety episodes, so that we can almost like prime healthcare providers that, you know, they should ask as well. So it's like a two-way relationship. So I think awareness needs to be raised everywhere. And, you know, it's great to have conversations like these so that we can talk about the research that we're doing. And I guess I just, you know, I wanted to acknowledge that it's great to be part of this panel, and research is not possible without like the support of, you know, APAB. So I draw a lot on experiences to inform the research that we're doing so that it really will be able to help the people that are living with these.
One of the things that I love about Arthritis Research Canada is that they do take the patient's experience and their voices really into consideration, and it's always a part of the research that's going on. I really enjoyed having this conversation and really appreciate everybody's feedback and input. And would just like to offer it up to anyone on the panel if they've got any final thoughts or words to share around the topic of living with arthritis and our mental health.
I think this is a really great starting point to change the attitudes of some healthcare professionals about catastrophizing, where in fact it's, you know, to the patient, it's not catastrophizing, it's valid concerns and real things that are happening inside them, and that those things should be, I mean, I personally don't like the label. If there's someone's catastrophizing, why not dig deeper and find out what the real issue is? Because that would probably rectify things much more quickly than writing it off as catastrophizing. So this is a really great opportunity. So really looking forward to Mary's project coming out.
Mary, is this research still undergoing? Is it still underway, and an end date for this project?
So we've actually just been working with the data now. We have some papers that have actually shed light on like the more understudied arthritis. So as you know, there's over 100 different types of arthritis, and actually a lot of the work on mental health and arthritis has been on rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. So the early work we've done is actually looking at gout, ankylosing spondylitis, and psoriatic arthritis. And we've shown that like depression and anxiety are also just as common in these other types of arthritis. So now that we've done that, we're kind of moving on so that we're looking at like arthritis as a whole. And like, again, disentangling these relationships between the timing of depression and then looking at like treatment and how that impacts the physical outcomes. And yeah, so it's coming. It's still cooking. Stay tuned for it.
Okay, we definitely will do that. And we like to encourage anyone who is looking for more information to head on over to the Arthritis Research Canada website. There's lots of great information and resources and other articles that are published there as well. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. This has been an Arthritis Wellness Conversation. My name is Sandra Sova, and we will see you next time.